Amen. Thank you, Isaac. Hello. See, I wanted to say something besides good morning, because I always say good morning, and I said that already. We have some exciting events coming up here for the congregation in some are ours and some belong to the congregations up the road, but October is a great month for activities in that the first two weekends, the first weekend in October, we have a men's retreat that's hosted by the Anchorage congregation, and the second weekend in October, we have a ladies' retreat for the ladies in this congregation. And so, gentlemen, ladies, pick up each other's duties, responsibilities, help each other out those two weekends so that we can be free to go and for those periods of focus and fellowship and deeper learning of the Lord. They are very good times, very uplifting and building times. So the brochures and flyers are in the back. Get them. Plan your weekends around those and make that a time of growth and a time of encouragement for you and for those around you. Remember, you don't go to things just for yourself. You always get a benefit out of it. But the biggest thing to do you do in obeying God is that you encourage somebody else. Just your attendance, just your smile, just your handshake, just your hug. If you don't do anything else but get there and hug one person, say hello to one person, you've encouraged many. And so these activities are for the building up of the body and for the encouragement of the saints and for the maturing of all of us. So make those efforts of yours. Let's go to our Father in prayer before this lesson. Heavenly Father, gracious Lord, dear God, we praise you and pray that our lives bring you the praise of each day, the praise of our lips, the praise of and thankfulness of our actions and our lives. Father, help us to be yours through and through, that in all things people can know that we love you and that we love one another. Help us to be obedient to your word and to follow it carefully, and that in this lesson your word and your truth come through. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We've been in Romans chapter 12 lately, and I just want to start there as a little bit of a springboard to move on to what to me has been a deeper understanding of some of the New Testament teachings. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may be able to prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Notice in verse 2 where the mind fits in. Where the mind fits in. It talks about a transformation. The word metamorphosis is used, or metamorphos, for which we get metamorphosis. But that happens by our minds being renewed. And I want that's what this lesson is about. It's about our minds. Christ includes the mind when he talks about the love that we're to give God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. The heart being that which is your core purpose, that which is which drives you, if you will. What do you really intent on? That's your heart. Your soul is your eternal self, that character, that person that you are. The mind are your thoughts, the thoughts that lead to actions, your choices, your decisions, that which you dwell on. And your strength, of course, is your body. But notice that it's the mind that is renewed here, and that's what leads to the transformation. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It is our mind that is to be renewed. I won't go into the Greek words from mine because I'll probably get some of it messed up. But suffice it to say that the Greeks were rather sophisticated in the word mind and in the thought process around the mind, a little bit like the human language, the English language. What I meant to say was English. Came out totally wrong. The English language is one of the most flexible languages ever known to man. We have hundreds of thousands of words, with just dozens of words having variations on meanings, so that we can say, if our vocabulary is big enough, we can say anything we want, practically. We can show all sorts of nuances and subtleties with the English language, because it's really stolen words from all sorts of languages. It's picked up this, that, or the other. Well, the Greeks were that way. Some languages don't even have a word for mind. Doesn't even have a word for the center of your thought process. Some languages mix it up with heart, or even you have to refer to the word head to talk about thinking, but then it's not always known in ancient cultures that thinking was done in the head. Who knows where thinking gets done until you begin to dissect the body and understand it. So we're guided by God with a language of Greek that is rather sophisticated in using the word mind and thoughts of the mind. Look back in 1 Corinthians, please. So we're talking about renewing the mind, transforming the mind. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul is exhorting, begging, teaching, rebuking the church in Corinth against their disunity. Now I exhort you, brethren, verse 10, 1 Corinthians 1:10. I exhort you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree, and that there be no divisions among you, and that you be made complete in the same mind and the same judgment. In the same mind and in the same judgment. Keep that thought and turn to the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16 of 1 Corinthians 2. For who has the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as a spiritual man, but as to men of flesh, as to infants in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not yet able to receive it. Indeed, even now you are not able, for you are still fleshly. For since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly? Are you not walking like mere men? For one who says, I am of Paul, and another, I am Apollos, are you not mere men? In rebuking the church, one of the basic things he wants us to understand, that in the setting of our minds, in the pattern of our thinking, central to that is the way we think of ourselves and correspondingly to those around us. Notice that he considers the lack of division, the unity in the church, to be a mental thing, to be a way of thinking. It's how we think, that we have the same mind and the same judgment. He goes on to question, is Christ divided? Was Paul baptized for you or crucified for you, etc.? And then talks about their disunity. Look at this. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food. You're infants in Christ. You're not able to receive it. You're still fleshly, for there is jealousy and strife among you. So how do we get rid of jealousies? How do we get rid of strife? How do we get rid of divisions? Well, the New Testament says you need to think differently. You need to think differently. You see, we're given a new way of thinking in the New Testament. Some somebody comes into a room. We've talked about this in some of our classrooms downstairs. Somebody comes in and pulls a $20 bill out of their pocket, walks up, there's 10 children, 20 children in the classroom, teenagers, whatever, and walks up and hands the $20 bill to one of them and says, "Here, that's for you," and walks out of the room. What are you going to get from the other 19? What do you think you'd get in most places? "Thank you very much." That's not fair. That's not fair. Why? Because we're patterned, we're taught over and over how to think about ourselves. You can walk into my classroom and give everybody $20 or nobody. How about we give them to 19, but not to you? Chris is just smiling at me. That's not fair. See, God gives us a new way to think and asks us to rejoice in the blessing of someone else's life rather than the first thoughts that we have being about our own life. Where did jealousies come from anyway? There are jealousies among you. You're just like mere men. What? I thought I was a mere man. No, you're not a mere man anymore, Robert. You've been transformed. You've been changed. Or you're supposed to be transformed. Wait a second. Do I have that out of order? For you died, and your life is now hidden in Christ. Look at Philippians chapter 2. Look at Philippians chapter 2. "Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ," verse 1, "if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit." I want to continue there. "Intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this mind," and that's the word, or thought, "in you," thinking. It's another word, a derivative off the word mind. "Have this mind in you, which was in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus." The very pattern of unselfishness, the very pattern of losing yourself for others or dying for others, the very pattern of sacrificing yourself for others that Christ has is ours. It's supposed to be ours. That as Christ showed unselfishness and a pattern of not thinking about ourselves, of ourselves, for ourselves, but thinking for others and thinking about others and looking for God's pattern, is to be ours. We're to transform our lives by renewing our thinking. Different kind of thinking. A different kind of thinking. Relationships are often based on trust and patterns of actions. So if somebody does something to violate their trust, your trust in them, or they do something that hurts you, we often look to get them back. We often look for revenge. We often put a distance between us and them. There are all kinds of different ways of responding to that in a worldly sense, but there's only one way to respond to that in a godly sense, which brings you right up to them. You see, the world teaches us to make sure you get back those who get you. Revenge. You got to get them back. You got to hurt them if they've hurt you. Or at least ignore them. Somebody stepped on you. Somebody slammed the door, figuratively or literally, in your face. Somebody is lying about you to your friends. Well, then you ignore them. Then you pull away from them. But that's worldly thinking. That creates divisions and strife and jealousies. You see, we have to think differently. We have to approach our daily living and our relationships with the people around us drastically differently to understand the transformation that's supposed to be taking effect in our lives of Christ, for Christ, about Christ, in Christ, through Christ. That's what makes us more Christ-like, is when we renew the way we think. Philippians chapter 3. Listen to what Paul says about his life. And think about thinking differently, okay? As you read these, think about thinking differently. Verse 7 of Philippians 3. But whatever things were gained to me, those things which I have counted as lost for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, a righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. Oh, how we avoid suffering. Oh, how we run from suffering. Oh, how we make sure that our lives are comfortable. And the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, in order that I may attain the resurrection of the dead. Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward for what lies ahead, I press on for the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect or mature, have this attitude, or think this way. This is another mind word. For as many of us as are perfect, think like this. And if any of you don't think like this, or have a different attitude, God will reveal that to you. However, let us keep living by the same standard which you have attained. Brethren, join in following my example, and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. For many walk, as I have often told you, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, for which we also eagerly await for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of His glory by the exertion of the power which He has in subject to all things to Himself. Therefore, my beloved brethren, chapter 4, verse 1, whom I long to see, my joy, my crown, this way stand firm in the Lord, my beloved. I urge Yodia and I urge Synthi to live in harmony in the Lord. I included those two sisters of ours because the phrase there, in harmony, is of the same mind. Have the same mind. Once again, this mental attitude, this way of thinking, comes back to personal relationship. But did you notice how it permeated all of his life? Did you notice how, thinking about all of those benefits he had, he changed the way he thought about it? Paul had to change the way he had his ledger sheet written up. All of these things that were to the positive, he now considers them garbage. It's a different way of thinking, a renewing of the mind. And this reminds me of Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, if you want to, the painful agony he had in thinking about those who had set their minds on earthly things. In Colossians chapter 3, Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, verse 1, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died. You have died, and your life is hidden with Christ his God, in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. It is interesting, whenever he talks about the way we think, he talks about our thoughts, our processes, he says things like, think this way, set your mind that way, stop thinking this the other way. He doesn't say try, he doesn't say work toward it, he just says does it. He just says do it, excuse me. As if we had a choice. You have a choice the way you think. A lot of people would claim they don't. A lot of people would claim they don't have a choice the way they think. They just react. They just respond. Feelings well up, ideas well up, and they go in that direction. That's just the way I am. Don't push me. Don't get in my face. You lied about me. People just assume that their thinking is stuck in a particular direction. And the New Testament repeatedly tells us to change the way we think. Change the way we think. Well, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. If you're dealing with thoughts, if you're dealing with a mind pattern that you don't like, that isn't Christ-like, and all of us have them, you know, there are pet selfishness. Leave me alone. This is my night. Don't bother me on Thursday nights. This is my time for doing whatever, fill in the blank. It's my time for watching my show. Don't bother me during my show. You're bothering me during my show. We have these times where we just think that we're going to be stuck in this particular pattern rather than break that pattern and think in a different way. 2 Corinthians verse 10, verse 5, we are destroying speculations and every lofty thing that raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. We are ready to punish all disobedience whenever your obedience is complete. We are destroying speculations or strongholds. Sometimes those thought patterns end up being strongholds in the way you live your life. That's just me. That's just my personality. I can't do any different than that. Yes, you can in Christ. But you have to rebuke the thoughts. In this phrase, you take the thought captive to make it obedient to Christ. That Christ-likeness, that having the same mind of Christ in reference to him dying on the cross, in reference to his sacrifice out of Philippians chapter 2, that's the new style of thinking for us to have. We are to change our thinking. Change our thinking. I wonder if the New Testament talks about changing the way we think. Anybody know a word that means changing the way you think? Look at 2 Corinthians. Well, you can look up about a dozen different places. How about Romans chapter 2? I'm sorry. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm cutting my lesson down and I'm throwing things out left and right so that we can make sure we end on time. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 22. Now flee good word. Now flee from youthful lusts. and pursue righteousness. 2 Timothy 2:22. Now flee youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart, but refuse foolish and ignorant speculations, knowing that they produce quarrels. The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all. See, that's us. That's to be us. I haven't gotten to the word yet, by the way. We're still talking about mind. Argumentative. Don't put your hands up. But if I ask for a calling of hands, you know, who here would stick their hand up and say, yeah, argumentative, that kind of describes me. I stick to my guns and I argue. I argue with my parents, I argue with my boss, I argue with my wife, I argue with my husband. That's not to be us. We are not to be people who are argumentative. Change our thinking. The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wrong, with gentleness, correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth. Well, we finally ran into the word that means changing your mind. Repentance. Repent. The word repent means to change the way you think. Change your mind. When you walk up to something that you see in God's Word or in Christ's life that doesn't mirror you, your heart is pricked. Maybe tears well up in your eyes. Your teeth grit together because you know you haven't been submissive to God. And you say, Father, I'm sorry. I never saw it that way. I didn't understand. I'm too stubborn. I repent. I'm going to do it differently. Lauren likes to remind us that if you just change your actions, if repentance only means I'll change the way I behave, but if I don't change and I don't change the way I think, well, as soon as the conforming outward pattern isn't necessary or isn't held in check, the way I think will go right back and being in charge and I'll go back doing my old way again. Repentance means changing our thoughts, changing our minds. It's what's necessary. It's what's necessary. It's what's required in our walk in Christ. It's required for the beginning of our walk in Christ, and it's required for our maintenance of our walk in Christ. I wanted to end back with Philippians chapter 4, but we've read that already, thanks to Isaac, and I'll leave that with you, remembering that the dwelling on these things in verse 8 of Philippians 4 is the healthy food. And that's what I want you to do this week, is to go back and read Philippians 4:8. Can you make that your memory verse this week? Many of you already have it memorized, but make that your memory verse this week. Something to remember and say every day, and make sure that every day your day is filled with that which we're supposed to dwell on with our minds. But more than that, we need to be people who are rebuking those quarrelsome, argumentative, selfish, anti-unchristian thoughts and attitudes we have. That we take every thought captive. That we are repentant. It's where you come to Christ. Your faith has to be ready, but your repentance has to be right there with it. And as we walk in Christ, we need to be a people who are repentant. The very first opportunity Peter had, the very first opportunity the apostles had to tell people about what do you do in coming to Christ, Peter said to them, repent. And he said it, it's written here in a language that means change the way you think. change your thinking. And each one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Let us all be a people who are actively working to change the pattern of our minds, get rid of the worldly thoughts. There's 1,000 more things to teach on this subject. So I hope you took notes. Go look it up in your concordance. Go look it up in your Greek, Hebrew dictionaries to dive into these words, to understand what Christ is calling to us. But if there's any here today who have not been baptized into Christ, if your repentance is this is the first repentance you've had toward a walk and a submission to Christ, we invite you to come forward and let us know. We'll help you. We'll baptize you if you're ready. If you're ready for a Bible study or have any other need,